If you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua, first chapter. We'll ask the Lord's blessing on the service. Lord, we pray that you'll be with us, Father, and give us grace and give us strength. And Lord, that you'll give us the ability to proclaim your word, Father. And Lord, that you'll help us that we might glean the truth from these scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 1 and the first 9 verses. And just take a look at what God is asking of Joshua and what God's going to give to Joshua. So what is he asking or commanding Joshua, actually? He's commanding Joshua, and what is he supporting Joshua with? It's very important to see these things. Okay, so we'll start off. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Notice one thing. When Moses died, God starts speaking directly to Joshua. Okay? God had a plan here. And God told Joshua to be new leader from the children of Israel. He said, you know what? It just didn't happen that he picked Joshua out of a hat. Joshua had been faithfully serving God throughout this entire. Matter of fact, Joshua and Caleb are the only people from the generation that sinned against God that made it to the promised land. Just two people. Moses didn't even make it. The only two people were Jacob and Caleb. They came back, and they remember the spying? And they said, we could take the land. And Israel said, no, we can't take the land. None of that generation made it to the promised land. None. But Joshua and Caleb. So when God picks Joshua here, it's not because he's just picking somebody. Joshua proved to God he had faith. He said, I can do this. Remember, Caleb said, we could do this. But people didn't want to. And so they all died in the wilderness. And so God said, okay, Joshua, Moses is dead. So now you're going to go up, arise, and go over this Jordan with the people. Go and do as I planned. You know, God always has a plan for man to complete his will. All right? God is always there. He's willing, if we're willing to follow God's leading, he's willing to do wonders in our lives. All we got to do is follow his leadership. Joshua followed God. And now God's going to do wonders through Joshua. We just have to follow God. That's all we have to do. God isn't asking us to do anything else but follow him. What does he ask Joshua to do here? You know, get up, lead these people who I tell you to lead them. That's all I want you to do. You know, we can get out of step when we refuse to follow God's plan. Okay? That's what happened to Moses. Right? He said, speak to the rock, and Moses beat the rock. Okay, God still gave him the water, but Moses couldn't see the promised land. You know, if we get out of step with God, we refuse to follow his plan. And when you get out of step with God, dangerous things can happen. I mean, with here, it was severe. Here, they died in the wilderness, never seeing the land that God promised them. That's a serious thing because they were out of step with God. Right? That's how the children of Israel wound up in this situation. Okay? It's easy to get discouraged when we don't see immediate results from God. Right? I didn't see. I prayed, nothing happened. Okay? I prayed last night, and today it didn't happen. All right? We don't see immediate results from God, and so we get discouraged. But that discouragement will only lead us to wander around in the circles. And that happened? When they were discouraged, what happened? They wandered around in circles for 40 years until they all died. Because they wouldn't follow the leading of God. And God didn't give them the land immediately. And they were discouraged when they got to a place where they could get the land. They walked in circles the rest of their lives. Read the Bible. That's what they did. I mean, they could have easily any time crossed the land. But they didn't. They just wandered in circles. One major lesson we should get from this journey through the wilderness is that to trust God and wait on his time. Okay? That's what they didn't learn. But that's what Joshua learned. Joshua and Caleb learned that lesson. And now, because they learned that lesson, Joshua is going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. They're going to cross Jordan. They're going to take the land. Okay? So now, Moses is dead, but the work goes on. You know, nothing depends on man, folks. Everything depends on God. You see that? Moses is dead. That's okay. Moses, one of the greatest leaders of all time, is dead. No problem. Joshua, you take the people in. God does not depend on man. Man depends on God. Okay? So it doesn't matter who the leader is. If he's God's man, it's going to be okay. And if it's not God's man, it's not going to be okay. All right? We can think that God's word can go on without us. No. But God's work can go on without us. We think, no, this church needs me. No, it don't. Okay? It don't need you. God don't need you. I'm special. God sees me. God don't need you. God don't need you. Korah thought, hey, Moses, you took too much on yourself, right? Right? The earth swallowed them all up, right? You need me, Moses. You need me. Oh, God says, I don't need nobody. Okay? So don't ever get so proudful that you think that this church and this God needs you. It doesn't. You serve willingly and humbly God. And you serve humbly and willingly the church. And that's what God will glorify. Because that glorifies God. Not when you think, I'm somebody, so they have to listen to me. Right? So, the work more without us, but God demonstrates the settlement of the promised land will go on without the great leader Moses. So, okay, you're going to go to the land, and it doesn't matter, Moses is not here, you're going to settle land. That's irrelevant, Moses is dead, you're fine. Okay? So we have to understand that if we just follow God, we're fine. It doesn't matter what happens around us. We get too concerned about what's happening around us and less concerned about what God wants to do. Right? And so we don't want to get concerned with the world. They got concerned with the world. We want to be concerned about what God has to do. So let's look at verses 3 to 5. This is where he tells them what's going on. And okay, he says, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Wow. So God sits there and lays out the borders. He says, Joshua, here's the borders I want you to take. It's a big piece of land, by the way. I mean, we're talking about the Mediterranean, all the way to the Euphrates River. Big piece of land. Okay? I've given you all this. The land of the Hittites, I've given it to you. It's your land now. Okay? All you got to do is go take it. All right? And he gives Joshua a promise. He promised him they would always be with him, just like he was with Moses. Now, Joshua personally witnessed the miracles of Moses. Look what Joshua saw with Moses. The parting of the Red Sea. Not bad. And then the closing of the Red Sea on all the Egyptians. Right? Amazing. What else did he see? He saw the manna from heaven. He saw the cloud and the fire from heaven. Right? He saw time and time again Moses being worked through God to do miracles. He beats the rock and the rock gives water. And it's good water. They had the brackish water. He throws the thing in there and it becomes sweet. Come on. He saw all this. So now God says, hey, you saw Moses. I'm going to do the same thing with you. So don't worry about it. It's a pretty good promise. It's a pretty good promise, isn't it? I saw him. You saw him. You know what's going to happen. We've all witnessed God's working in our lives and the lives of other Christians. Haven't we? Now, it's funny because I didn't realize I was doing it, but I was just talking to Renee tonight, and we talked about Mike maybe coming up here, and I was telling her about how my career worked out. This is rearview mirror. I'm looking in the rearview mirror, right? I was run over by a forklift in 1983. Yes, I was 30 years old when I turned 30. 83, so I turned 30 when I was hurt. 83, right in the middle of my apprenticeship. 5 years later, I had to go have another surgery on my foot. Now, all this time, I was missing training, and I was off work for a bunch of hours. I was worried about my job. I go back to work. I'm on crutches. They put me in the planning office. They do it. While I'm in the planning office, they said, well, you know what? You're doing a good job. We're going to give you a temporary planner. Pretty soon, I was a permanent planner. They said, we're going to give you a supervisor off-station stuff. I was in the office there sending people off-station. Then I was supervisor on the floor. Then they said, you know, they came up and said, you know what? You understand what it's like to be injured. Yeah, I got hurt real bad. He said, well, we got a job for you. Okay? I started the injured worker program. That today is one of the most successful programs in the shipyard. Matter of fact, the administrative assistant said it's one of the only positive things the shipyard has. And I'm not trying to brag, I'm just trying to tell how God used me. Okay? My whole career was set up by an event I thought was ending my career. You can ask Jeannie. I thought for sure I was going to lose my job. I went to work crippling, just struggling to walk so I wouldn't lose my job. But you know what? God had a plan. See? And that's the way God works. I didn't know God worked that way. But look at the rearview mirror now. And look, Brian looked in his rearview mirror. Ray and Becky was in their rearview mirror. And some of us even in the middle of our lives. Jim, even in the middle of our lives, we look at the rearview mirror and see what God's done. Okay? So now, what I'm trying to say is we need to share those things with other people. You know why? That would increase our confidence in God during times of doubt. When you have times of doubt, look at what God did for your life. How can you doubt God? See? The problem with the children of Israel, they doubted God. But Joshua never doubted God. Caleb never doubted God. They made it to the promised land. Okay? We can be an encouragement to people who are discouraged by telling them how God works. That's a terrible thing to happen to you. Yeah? But look what God does. See? If I share what God did for me, I didn't do that, but if I share what God did for me, it's an encouragement that someone else is struggling. Why? Because God did that. God's real. He did that. He's going to do something for you. If you're following him, like Joshua did, God's going to take care of you. It's going to be okay. You may not think it's okay, because it was a long time before it was okay with me. We're talking about almost 10 years later that my life really got settled. That's a long time. Easy to get discouraged in that time. That's why we have to wait on God. God does things in his time. And in his time, things worked out. So what do? We walk with God, and we trust each step. That's what Joshua had to do. He said, Joshua, you go there. Don't worry about it. He said, I'm going to be with you. You go there. All this land is yours, and no man can stand before you. Don't worry about it. No one is going to get in your way. Now, did that mean Joshua wasn't having any battles? No, he had plenty of battles. But no man's going to stand in your way, because my plan is to put you there. That's my plan. And if I exercise my plan, you're going to get there. Okay, now what did Joshua do? Just follow him. He said, if you follow me, everything's going to be all right. I will never leave thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. I'm not going anywhere, Joshua. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to say, on you. Nope. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And I'm not going to fail you. God never fails. Imagine that. God never fails. Never. Never. If God failed you in your life, you wouldn't be here tonight. We all believe God doesn't fail. But we've seen it. And that's what I'm trying to say Joshua did. Joshua saw these things. So he knows he can trust God. You saw these things. You know you can trust God. Even in your young lives, you've seen things that know that you can trust God. It's not just for old folks. Everybody here has seen God work. Okay? So we know he's there. And he does things in his time, so we don't want to be discouraged. You know, so let's look at verse 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Wow. So God now gives his charge through Joshua. He gives Joshua a charge. He says, be strong and of good courage. This is a command, by the way. We'll see this later in the lesson. This is a command. God said, be strong and of good courage. He's not saying, hey, remember, be strong, have good courage. He's saying, be strong, have courage. That is a command. It's not like you're trying to encourage somebody. It's a command to Joshua to be strong and have courage. All right? Look at the way he says this. There shall not be a man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So stand up and be courageous. This is a command. When God has worked for us, we have nothing to fear. He will be in full control. So God's plan for us, don't worry about it. It might look hard to you, but nothing's hard to God. Didn't God provide for us to remodel this building? Did that seem possible to you? That's something we could pass on to new people. God provided the ability to do this. Okay? And though you're here, you know what I'm talking about. Okay? God provides us the ability because he says, I'll do it. And if God's going to do it to his command, he's going to be in full control. He's going to make it happen. I don't care if you stand in the way. Matter of fact, you better not stand in the way because there'll be no man to stand before you if you're doing God's will. You stand in the way, you might get knocked over by God. God takes care of that. So what does he say? He says, be strong. Well, what does he mean by that? Stand fast. Don't waver. Don't give in. And don't give up. Okay? You see, life can be very discouraging. It's easy to back down. Stand fast. Stand up. Don't waver. You see, these are amazing things. We want to give up. He says, don't give up. That's what stand means. Don't give up. You just stand firm. And you do what I tell you, and it's going to be okay. Standing is not easy, is it? It's not easy to make a stand. Because when you make a stand, generally a lot of people don't like that stand. Okay? It's more true today than it was true in the 60s. Okay? I mean, in the 60s, at least you could have an opposite opinion. Today, you have an opposite opinion that people beat on you. And that's a scary world. If you take a stand for God, expect people not to like you. Expect to be shoved back. That's okay. Because you just stand fast. Stand fast. Real strength is shown in your character. People with strong character will stand when the wind blows hard. Okay? People with real character will do great things when the trials come. Let's look at humans, just not even Christian. When they had that flood in Texas, all the pictures of all those guys in that water carrying women and children out of the water. That's character. I don't know what the law is to say, but that's character. We as Christians need to have character. Strength of character. Okay? Because that's what we're talking about. Strength comes from character, showing your character. It's not showing your muscles. Anybody can build muscles, but not everybody can have strength of character. And that's where your strength really comes out. Can you stand against the wind? Your show of strength will help others to stand strong as well. If I take a stand, it's going to be easier for you to take a stand. If Arnell takes a stand, it's easier for me to take a stand. Nobody wants to stand alone. If Brian takes a stand, it's easier for me to take a stand because nobody wants to stand alone. Now, if we have to stand alone, we stand alone. But it's so much easier to stand together. Because, you know, the Bible says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. I may do that sometime for an open exercise, and I'll say that for an open exercise sometime. It's a really neat illustration, so I'll save. I was going to give it to you, but I'm going to wait on that one. But anyway, what I want to tell you is that if we stand together, no one's going to bust us. Okay? And isn't that what God's commanded for the church? Doesn't he want us to stand as one? Aren't we one body? Okay? It'd be terrible if I left my fingers home tonight. Wouldn't be able to drive. Well, you know, every now and then you got to take them off so I can rest, you know? If I left my tongue home tonight, I wouldn't be able to talk. We'll talk about that later. But you know what? I take my whole body with me wherever I go. And we need to be a whole body together, believers together, and stay together wherever we go. Okay? Strengthen each other. Don't tear each other down. If we stand with character and strength, we'll be strong. Okay? Courage. You need to be confident in the things God has you to do. Confidence in God. If God says to Joshua, and Joshua says, well, I'm not sure you can do that, it's not going to happen. I'm not sure you can do that, God. You better have confidence in God. Well, I'm asking for God for something impossible. Really? God made the universe. Would you ask for what's impossible? Really? Come on, think about it. The God created everything in this universe, and you're asking for something that's impossible? The Bible says with Christ, all things are possible. Okay? Let's not think in terms of possibilities. Think in terms of what is God's will and get that determined and pray that it be done. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for that. We're not going to be people that are wavering. Where's your confidence in God? You know what? Your enemies rely on your fear. It doesn't matter if you're a big guy or a small guy. It doesn't matter. Because your enemies, physically, they rely on your fear. In the world, that's true. My boss came to my office one time and says, you know, you need to stop intimidating people. Am I intimidating? Sometimes. But not because I'm physically intimidating, am I? Would anybody say I'm physically intimidating? But I stand my ground. And that makes me intimidating. And I'm only telling you to tell you this. Your enemies will fear you if you stand your ground. Now, what should you stand your ground on? The truth. I'm not talking about standing your ground on something silly. But I'm saying when you are in God's word, you stand your ground. You don't back off. Well, you know, I believe, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you know, that's kind of nice. No, it's not. It's either doctrinal or undoctrinal. There's no, well, maybe if it flows a little bit. There's none of that here. So you have the courage to stand up. It is or it ain't. And guess what? Your enemies will fear you. You won't fear them. When you fear your enemies, that's when you compromise. That's how churches compromise. They fear. Oh, we're afraid these people are going to fill the pews. Let's compromise. Right? Isn't that fear? Having no fear is preaching the gospel, no matter who cares. The old preachers say, real others, says, you're preaching, rubs the cat the wrong way. The priest says, turn the cat around. Okay? You have to be there to appreciate it. Okay? Your preaching has got to be firm. Your stand's got to be firm. All right? When you show courage, those with you will show courage. Do you ever realize that? It takes one person to take a stand, and all of a sudden he's got a gang. Not a gang, a group. I don't think a gang. I'm from New York. Everything's a gang. Good gangs, bad gangs, everybody's a gang. Okay? But you gotta, if I'm out with somebody and I take a stand, they're going to take a stand too. They're going to the courage is like it's just like anything else. It's contagious. And if you take a stand, I'll take a stand with you because if you're courageous, I'm going to be courageous. But if I'm afraid, you're going to be afraid. We are the ones that set the tone for each other. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but I'm saying we set the tone for each other. Okay? So we want to do that. And your courage will create fear in the enemies of God. They won't be able to stand up to you. They're not going to be able to stand up to you. Like God said to Joshua, If you're courageous and you're strong, they're not going to stand up to you. They'll go bother somebody else. Okay? I'm not saying they'll want that to happen, but that's what happened. Okay, notice in verse 7 that God expands his command by adding to Joshua that he needs to keep him spiritually strong as well. Listen to verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Twice, by the way. That second time he said that? Twice. He's important. Twice. That thou mayest observe to do all according to all the law which is Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not to the left hand, or to the right hand, to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Okay, Joshua, not just be confident, be strong, but you got to be spiritually strong, spiritually confident. See, that's all that really matters, not physical. It's spiritual strength and spiritual confidence that makes you strong, not worldly things. All right? So he says, you got to do this, Joshua. You got to do that. We can't have strength and courage in the work of God if we don't do it according to his word. Period. There's no strength and courage in God unless you're doing it in his word. If I got some false gospel and I'm going around, it's a waste of time. How can I stand strong in that? I'd be silly. You know what? We stand strong because we're in the word of God. All right? If we stay in the Word of God, we can stay in His will. They're directly related. You stay in the world, God's Word, you stay in God's will. You stay in God's will, you stay in God's Word. They're related. You're out of the world, will, you're out of the Word. You're out of the Word, you're out of the will. They are related. So you need to make sure that you're staying in the will of God by staying in the Word of God. And that's what he's telling Joshua. This word of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth, but have meditated day and night. Joshua, keep the word of God in your heart all the time. And I'll keep you my will. Joshua had a hard job. Do you know Joshua had to go and take the land? He hasn't got a trained army. It didn't matter. These people had armies and strength and walls. That doesn't look to God. What's a wall to God? He made the earth. What's a wall to him? Okay? We know that because we know what happened with Jericho. Right? Yep. Wall's gone. There's a wall there. Okay, no matter. Now it's not a wall. All right? So we got to realize that God will be okay. The condition to prosper is directly related to his adherence to the law. You notice, it says here, it says, that thou mayest prosper with us where thou goest. So the prosperity is going to be based on his adherence to the law. Our condition to prosper is also directly related to the law of Christ. Do you know we have the law of Christ? Do you know those commandments he's given us in the New Testament? In the Gospels and Epistles? Do you know those commands? Love one another. It's a command. There's two. There's more to it, isn't there? Commandments. Yeah, but I'm talking about the simple commandments he gave, like love one another, be kind to one another. Those are commands. Those aren't requests. Those aren't suggestions. There's a lot of little ones like that. Okay? She talked about the two great commandments that Christ gave. But we're talking about all those little commands that God gave us. And you know what most of them are? How to treat each other. Do you ever notice that? Most of the commands God gave is how to behave in the church with each other. Isn't that interesting? I find that very interesting. All right. So, if we stay in God's word, we'll be there. 1:8. Let's look at verse 8. The book of the Lord shall depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest serve to do, thou mayest observe to do all according to that is written therein, for then thou shalt be prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So he adds on now, he takes the last thing, says, you stay in my law, and you'll prosper. And if you stay and meditate day and night and follow everything, you're going to be prosperous and successful. All right, that's what he said. God confirms the necessity of his law as it relates to Joshua's success. Again, the word of God is tied into the will of God. You want to succeed, you got to be in his word. All right? So now, meditate day and night. Our minds, folks, should be centered on the Word of God. That's foundational and successful in Christian life. If your mind's not centered on the Word of God, you will not have a successful Christian life. It's as simple as that. You do, you don't. It's very simple. There's no middle ground there. Doing what God has commanded, we should be followers of Christ in our walk if we expect to be successful Christian life. We should follow God in our walk. Okay? This is all out of this verse right here. Prosperous. God's going to give you a lot of money. Oh, okay. I just want to make sure. There's a lot of false teachers that perverted God's word today and tied it directly with the world's riches. They're all over there. That's why Joel Olson has the big church he has. Because he teaches prosperity. You come to this church, God's going to bless you and give you a lot of money. Don't come here if you want money. Okay? That's not what serving God's about. So what does he mean by prosperous? Well, I think he means we should be prosperous directly in the worldly riches. What does he mean by prosperous? Well, I'll tell you what he doesn't mean by prosperous. Let's go to Matthew 6, 31 to 34. Let's see what he doesn't mean by prosperous. Matthew 6, 31, 34. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself, sufficient in the day is evil thereof. That's not about worldly goods, is it? God says, don't be so focused on worldly goods. That's not what it's about. So what's it about? If it's not about that, what's it about? It's about laying up treasures in heaven. Our focus should be on spiritual prosperity. You can have spiritual prosperity and be very poor. You could be very rich and have no prosperity at all. It's not about the world's goods. And that's what Christ is trying to say. So anybody telling you otherwise about prosperity and what the Bible says is lying. Because I quoted Christ to you. Okay? And Christ would have said so if that was true. But Christ says, no, those things aren't valuable. What matters is what you lay up in heaven. Okay? What you lay up in heaven is what matters to him. Okay? Our focus should be on the spiritual prosperity and laying up treasures in heaven. And that's what we should be focused on. What's going to be on the other side? And I've been to a lot of funerals. Young people, maybe not so many, but when you get my age, a lot of people don't start dying. Not one of them took anything with them. Unless we threw something in the casket, and that went, but they didn't use it. You go to Hawaii. Hawaii, they have this practice. Kind of, I think it's an Indian practice, because it wasn't an age where I was, but they take money. You give them real money, and they take fake money and burn it. And that money, when they burn it, goes to the other side. So the people on the other side can have money. They keep the real money. And the monopoly money goes to the other side. So the ancestors, whoever's on the other side, can get their money. You know, you want to go to a candy store. You don't know. You know, maybe there's a candy store on the other side. I don't know. But that's what they do. I'm going to tell you something. Save your money. and build the treasures while you're here, because I ain't sending you no money when you're over there. Okay? I'm spending it here. So, you go over there, make sure the treasure's there already. It's crazy things people do. All right. So let's look at verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, right? What did I say at the beginning? It was a commandment. Have I not commanded thee what? Be strong and of good courage? 3. When God says something 3 times, you better start listening. When he says verily, verily, twice, this is important. You think when he says something 3 times, it's more important? 3 times. Strong and good courage. 3 times, right? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. At the same time he said that. How many times has God got to say something to convince someone that he's there? You know, this is the third time he says that, right? And God's promise that he'll be with Joshua wherever he goes. Doesn't matter where you go, Joshua. I'm there ahead of you. Do you realize before you came to church here, God was ahead of you? Do you realize before you go home, God's ahead of you? Do you realize God's with you the whole time? We worry about things we don't need to worry about. God's there. And that's what God's trying to tell him three times. You just be strong and be of good courage. I'll take care of everything else. You demonstrate your love to me, and I'll take care of everything else. I just want you to stand for me, and I'll take care of everything else. That's what God says. You know what? Let's sum this up. Joshua's courage and confidence is not in his strength, but his trust in the Lord, in God to always be with him. As we walk through life, we need to exercise confidence in God to be there with us. Let's look at one verse, and we'll close. Psalm 27:1. If you're at Matthew, you went too far. One thing to consider before we close. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Good question. If you believe in God, the answer is no one. Okay? That's what God has for us. So I just want you all to be strengthened in God and rest on your faith. Okay, it's time for prayer requests.